There's so much out there for you and freedom when you let go of this all or nothing thinking, because there's room for the miracles to happen. Understanding where this comes from. Who said you have to be perfect?
Hi, and welcome to the Girl Who Can podcast. I am so, so happy you're here. It's time for you to remember that you are the girl who is valuable, inspiring, and deserves to live in the confidence that is uniquely yours. Because my friend, you are the girl who can. But we're also not a place that expects or promises perfection, because striving and hustling for the perfect looking life, one, doesn't exist, and two, will rob you of who you were created to be. So stick around and let me remind you of how to be the girl who can with who you already are. In this podcast, we have conversations that inspire you to be productive, stay rooted in purpose, but also learn how to embrace the imperfection that is just part of the journey, and remember that you're not alone in that. So hi, I'm Arissa, registered dietitian by trade, but most importantly, your friend, and I've made it my mission to live and share with you the importance of working hard, but also resting well. So I invite you to be the girl who shows up for herself as we get into today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. I hope you're doing so good and it's been a great day for you so far. I appreciate you for showing up to this episode because essentially it means you're showing up for me, which I am so grateful for, and also showing up for yourself. You clicked on this episode because it resonated with you in some way. And if it didn't, you just kind of want to listen in. I hope something stands out to you where it can be helpful. I do not claim to be perfect or the expert in all things. If you're new here, I am so happy you're here, but I often say this, that I am not perfect, and this is just a bit of girl talk where then we can kind of sort through things together. I am your friend, and I am just sharing my own experiences and what has helped me, and I hope that I can hold you to a standard and hold you higher as well as your friend. But I'm recording this on April 8th, and it is the solar eclipse. If you are in the US, we have a solar eclipse today, and I live a little bit outside of Austin in Texas, and we have a total solar eclipse. And I have never experienced this in my life, and honestly, it was the coolest thing. I did not really think too much about it. I was like, okay, it's going to be the total solar eclipse. Like, amazing. I didn't even get glasses. And then the day before, so yesterday, I was like, why didn't I not get glasses? Millions of people are flying into Texas to see this solar eclipse. And what am I doing? Like, I want to see this. I want to experience it. People like took off work and they shut down schools so then people can witness it. It was only like a total of 3 minutes or so, or less actually. But yeah, I had a work day, work from home. So I went outside, had my lunch. It happened around like 1:30, and I was in awe at just the world and God. It was amazing. It was so, so cool. And I think the next one is happening in 20 years. So pretty wild to think that I'm going to be 49 at the next solar eclipse. So crazy. And I might just travel to a place that has a total solar eclipse. I've been seeing videos like on TikTok that I've been showing up on my For You page of people that were in the most beautiful places where it was snowing, it was still, it was calm where the solar eclipse happened, but it legit gets dark like nighttime for a couple of minutes in the middle of the day. And I live right next to a middle school. it was so funny because, like I said, I was in my backyard witnessing this, and the kids were outside from their classes and they were screaming. They were like, the world is ending, the world, the sky's falling out. And they were just like being the most dramatic, which is so typical for middle schoolers, but it just made the experience all that more hype because they were screaming and yelling. But it was really cool. So if you were in the US and you got to experience it, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't,
I'm sorry, you got to go to a place that for the next in 20 years that is, I think it's called the Path of Totality. And my husband is in air traffic control. And so he was showing, we were FaceTiming during the day, and he was showing me, it's called like the traffic pattern where all the airplanes are witnessing this or just fly into the area to witness the total solar eclipse. And it was like one of the busiest days he's ever seen. But anyways, it was really cool. And I just wanted to share a little bit about what my day was a little bit like. I'll jump right into it. Obviously, you can see the title of this episode, The Girl Who Can Stop Self-Sabotage. In the last episode, if you have not listened to it, I encourage you to do so. But in the last episode, we talked about owning your goals. And so this episode is kind of a piggyback off of that one, because we've all started a goal or started something and then stopped, right? Like if you never started and stopped something, then you must be just a superhuman. I feel like we've all been in a season of starting something and not working out, or losing quote unquote motivation for it. This is a total side note, but illustrating what I mean here, I used to be someone who started books and really wanted to be a reader and had started literally a million of them. And I was like 30 pages in, 100 pages in, 70 pages in, and so on. But I never ever finished the book. And it was just frustrating. I was like, okay, well, I'm just not a reader. But I have turned a new leaf. I have finally finished my first book. That was in 2022, I think it was. I want to preface. I have finished a book before, but it was like in high school or in college when I had to read something for a class. I never was reading out of leisure, and my husband's a big reader, and I just wanted to have a little outlet. But anyways, I finished my first full book in 2022, and I think it was like a Colleen Hoover book. Shocker. I hopped on the bandwagon. I'm super basic, but I finished it, and then I loved it, and I read like 5 books in 1 year. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot maybe to some of you guys, but it was huge for me, for being somebody who never finished a book. So my goal for this year is actually to read 1 book per month, so 12. And I'm about to finish my 4th book, and it's just the start of the 4th month. So I am ahead, and I'm so proud of myself. So I've turned a new leaf, and I have kind of started a goal and continuing and accomplishing my goal. But I used to be somebody who started something and never got to finish. But you might start something and then stop it. Why? And the why is what I want to talk about today. And there can be so many reasons, right? And this could be, you know, a 2-hour long podcast about that. But I want to hone in on one thing that I see commonly, especially with my clients and the kind of work that I do. For those of you who are new, I'm a dietitian. So I work with people on a day-to-day basis and also run a team, and we set goals. But one of those reasons why you might stop working towards something is because of self-sabotage. And so just defining self-sabotage, first and foremost, it's actions or thoughts that consciously or subconsciously interfere with your long-term goals and just your overall well-being, because it does influence the way you believe and think about yourself. So essentially, you are getting in your own way of letting yourself get to a goal or seeing success in a particular area. You are the barrier. And often I hear a lot of people, like I say in my day-to-day, because I'm a dietitian, they say they just don't get why they get in their own way. They very explicitly know that it's them, it's their self-sabotage, but they say, well, I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I continue to self-sabotage. It's just a big, they just do it. And so they chalk it up to being self-sabotage, but they know, they feel like they can't overcome it. So they don't essentially know how to stop that cycle of destructive thoughts or behavior. And this might be you in your current season, or maybe it has been you before and you just are listening to this because you want to be preventative of it. And you won't know how to stop this cycle of self-sabotage until you know why it's happening in the first place. So that's really where I like to take my clients and when we have a conversation about it, but also when this happens to me, like I said, I'm not perfect and I can have negative thoughts from a day to day. And it's unfortunately a normal thing that sometimes arises. But being aware of it and self-aware and knowing why it's happening is going to be kind of first and very helpful. So why do we self-sabotage? Well, again, multitude of reasons, but there could be childhood issues, prior relationship issues or impacts that have now affected certain areas. Low self-esteem is huge. There's a lack of self-confidence, which is causing a lot of insecurity or fears to come up. And so because of these things, there's a deep-rooted issue at play behind all the actions of self-sabotage or all the thoughts of self-sabotage that might be going on. And the actions, as mentioned before, can be consciously done or unconsciously done. So I think this is where when people say like, oh, well, I don't know why I'm doing it, or I don't even recognize, maybe you don't even recognize that you're doing it. And so that's what I mean when I say, okay, self-sabotage can also be unconscious. Like you just aren't self-aware that this is happening. And I actually find this part interesting too, that self-sabotage can be conscious or unconscious, because I think in our society, sometimes we are a little bit too harsh with ourselves or even with other people. And you hear like, well, you have a choice in everything. And yes, I do agree that you have a choice to change your circumstance or outcome. But if you are not aware, like I said, of why this is happening, or you haven't gotten or really dug deep or self-reflected or even gotten support through therapy or counseling, like you don't know. And so for somebody just to kind of say, well, you have the choice to do it, figure it out, isn't necessarily the most accurate or empathetic way to go about it. So I just find it interesting and want to share that to give yourself maybe a little bit of grace too. Give yourself a little bit of time and grace to figure it out. Figure out where this is coming from. I don't expect you to hear this and be like, okay, well, I should know exactly where it's coming from. It might take time. It might take some deep work that I encourage you to do if you are really struggling with self-sabotage and you don't really know why it's a continued pattern. So I'm not a therapist. I'm just your friend. And these are my personal experiences. But I think it can give a lot of clarity, like I said, to those people who say, well, I don't know why this is happening or why can't I stop? So an unconscious actions of self-sabotage. So unconscious actions of self-sabotage mainly can stem from like those deep-seated beliefs, fears, unresolved issues, like I mentioned, from like possibly your past. For example, having a fear of failure. Having a fear of failure could equal procrastination. So you avoid potentially doing things wrong because you're afraid of failing. Like I said, that can be displayed as procrastination or even perfectionism, because you might have a fear of letting others down. So you try and put an unrealistic standard on yourself. So those are like two opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Like perfectionism and procrastination. Those might even go together, right? Like you procrastinate because you want things to be perfect, and because they're not perfect, you procrastinate. That's ultimately a fear of failure. So again, understanding why this is happening and understanding, do you have deep-rooted fears and where do those come from? And knowing if you are a perfectionist and it is stemming from a fear of failure, being a perfectionist as a form of self-sabotage can actually lead to feelings of isolation, because you might feel like you are supposed to do everything by yourself, or you can only do things by yourself, or you can only handle it on your own, and that's the only way it could be perfect. that can get very lonely and can cause one to retract and kind of get in their own little shell and not want to ask for help, not reaching out for help, because essentially you're avoiding a challenging situation or a conversation that could potentially lead to growth. But that conversation might actually expose your failure, not your failures, but your kind of weaknesses and vulnerabilities. And I feel like I'm preaching to myself too. You know, like sometimes my form of self-sabotage is my perfectionism. And that's because I have a fear of failure. A part of this fear of failure comes from, I don't want to expose my weaknesses and my vulnerabilities, so I won't ask for help. It's really challenging for me to put myself in that situation because it's very, very uncomfortable. And it's not that I don't want to grow. I love learning and I love growing my skill sets and seeing where I can improve. But being able to do that is the hardest part for me. Getting there is the hardest part for me. Asking for help. And I have experienced that form of loneliness or isolation. And so I've since overcome it, but it still is difficult. But the thing here is that I'm aware of it. So when I do sense myself retracting and feeling a little bit falling into that perfectionist kind of mode, I can be self-aware of it. I know when it's happening so then I can stop it in its tracks. And that's where I have the choice to kind of change the outcome of not continuing with any form of self-sabotage of my growth. So that's kind of unconscious, but as I mentioned, being able to be aware of where it's coming from and the root, deep-rooted kind of cause or issue is going to be super important. So then you can stop it in its tracks when it's happening. So that's kind of a little bit on unconscious self-sabotage. There's also conscious self-sabotage. So essentially making a conscious decision, right? Like binge watching a TV show when you know you want to work on your side hustle, for example, or work, for example, or not doing the workout when you have the free time, even though you're wanting to get healthier. So that's a conscious decision. These conscious decisions are what you have more control and more empowerment over. Think about, maybe you've said this yourself, but I hear this in my line of work where people say, I know what to do, but I'm just not doing it. That is a conscious decision. Same thing like with the unconscious choices. We have to understand where this is coming from. And so how do we do this? Look at previous patterns in your life. Have you been prone to not stay focused on your good efforts or not give yourself credit for them? For example, are you mainly just focused on the negatives? When something good is happening, are you complaining about something else? Is it hard for you to celebrate yourself in work, in relationships, in your health, just in all areas, or maybe a specific area? You know, everybody is different. And know that this behavior, similar to the unconscious, like it could stem from childhood. In your childhood, maybe there was a lack of encouragement, relationship issues, abuse, neglect. I mean, the list goes on. And as mentioned before, I'm not a therapist, but I mean, if you notice yourself self-sabotaging and you're thinking about this and you're like, okay, maybe this does stem from something that I went through in the past, it might be time to invest in that emotional support or a counselor, a therapist. I cannot recommend it enough. And in my practice as a dietitian, when I'm talking about this with my clients, I'm always encouraging them to get emotional support if they need it. Because when we talk about health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, it really becomes a vulnerable subject and they might feel like they are self-sabotaging. It can stem from something that is going on, that has gone on previous in their life that maybe needs to be addressed. But I will give you some tips now that have worked for me to overcome self-sabotage and my clients as well. First, all or nothing thinking. Let go of the all or nothing thinking, the black and white. Thinking in absolutes, always or never. it has to be 5 times a week or not at all. It has to be perfect or you're not doing it at all. We have to let go of that, which I understand is very hard, especially for somebody who might be listening to this podcast and you are a go-getter. You're all in. You feel like you can do it all. You're a perfectionist. You're a people pleaser. All those things, which seem to be quote unquote good on paper, but are essentially holding you back of a lot of opportunity. There's so much out there for you and freedom when you let go of this all or nothing thinking, because there's room for the miracles to happen. Understanding where this comes from. Who said you have to be perfect? Who said it has to be this way or that way, and those are the only two routes or options? Why don't you make your own path, right? Where there's a road less traveled. And so understanding who said this? Where is this coming from? Where is this belief from? And knowing that imperfections are a part of the journey. And that's how you understand how to do things a bit differently and adapt and adjust with the way that works best for you within your time. Sometimes we are trying why this all or nothing kind of thing happens, or the self-sabotage, is because we are trying to fit a mold that is not realistic for your life or your time. And this is permission to know that that's okay. You have your own unique schedule. You have your own unique needs. And that is a beautiful thing to lean into and figure out what is going to be best for you. And this is going to take time, okay? Along with this, it's going to be important to celebrate the small wins when you do lean into this. And this is something I'm super passionate about because, and I encourage you to do, because this goes such a long way. Sometimes when we're trying to overcome this all or nothing thinking, you can be quick to point out what you didn't do or what's going wrong, because you feel like things might be going wrong. It's not going in the way that you quote unquote wanted them to, because it's not, you're trying to adapt, you're trying to be flexible of what's going to work for you. And that might lead to a bit of trial and error. That might lead to a little bit of failure. That is okay. If something doesn't work out, it's okay. You pick up, you try again, you try something different. When something does work, even if it's just one day that it did work, celebrate it. Celebrate that small win, because what you focus on, it will grow. What you feed grows. This goes for your thoughts as well, and what you decide to focus on. If you focus on the one negative, that negative will grow. More negatives will come, and because that's what you're focusing on. It's what you're choosing to focus on. I'm going to share an example of something that was like really practical and kind of made me think about this a little bit more. But I was sitting outside the other day in my backyard. Side note, we got a puppy. And so I am just outside in my backyard more than I have ever been since we moved into this house. But it was like 8 a.m. and I was eating my breakfast out there. Actually, it was light out, but it was an overcast day. So it was a bit gloomy and dark-ish. But when I was just kind of looking up at the clouds, and it was windy, so the clouds are moving, but I could see that there was a bright blue, clear day above the clouds of gray. It was evident. I could see it. There was a clear blue sky and the sun was out, but I couldn't focus on that because a majority of the sky looked gray and dull. But if I didn't give myself the opportunity to look up and search for that bright blue, amazing, clear sky, I would just be stuck in thinking that the day was overall a gloomy day and gray. So our lives really, truly work the same way. If we don't seek out the good and give ourselves the time and the space to just look up and breathe and see and search for that good, that little pocket of the clear blue sky and the sun, it goes unmissed. And so celebrate. And so give yourself the space to celebrate and search for the good. And it ended up being a clear blue sunny day, okay? And maybe it was because I decided to focus on it, right? But important to celebrate those small wins. Search for the good. What you feed will grow within your life. And so that leads me to my next point, which is reframing your thoughts. Reframing your thoughts if you struggle with self-sabotage. Something really practical I like to think for myself and encourage my clients to do is, are your thoughts helpful or hurtful? This is huge because your thoughts become your beliefs and your beliefs influence your actions. So we can think about obvious thoughts that might be hurtful, right? Like you telling yourself, I am not good at anything. I can't be successful. I'm not pretty. Okay. Is that harmful or is that going to be helpful for your journey? Harmful, obviously, those are not positive things to say to yourself. So again, talking about this multiple times throughout the episode, but where does this come from? Where is this thought stemming from? Why are you thinking about this? And if you decide that a thought is harmful, replace it. Don't just stop there. Replace it with the truth. What can you replace it with that is more helpful? Okay, let's think of an affirmation. And even if it's just more of a neutral statement. So for example, you might say something negative about your body. Oh, I really dislike my legs. That is a harmful statement. So how can we turn it into something that's more neutral? I appreciate that my legs can help me walk today. That has nothing to do with the way they look. I'm not saying let's tap into some sort of toxic positivity here, but maybe just turn it into a more neutral statement. Or I'm trying my best today. I hear people say, well, okay, I don't want to be like self-absorbed or say something that I don't truly believe in this moment. And I get that, but think about your thoughts and how they can be more helpful. And it might not even be about yourself directly, but maybe about something as a whole. So for example, oh, starting a business is impossible, or being clean or being single again would be terrible, or cooking takes up too much time. That has nothing to do with you as an individual, but more so a belief about something. Those are limiting beliefs. So while yes, your circumstances might influence what goes into those beliefs, you don't have to accept the circumstance to be the most difficult thing in the world. Self-sabotage is partly stemmed from placing yourself in a victim mindset, and this is where limiting beliefs can really heighten that victim mindset. So being a victim, you know, a person who perceives themselves as powerless, helpless, due to whatever is happening around them, right? Individuals with a victim mindset often also believe that they are constantly being wrong, or they're at a disadvantage by others or just life itself. They may blame external factors for their problems and feel this sense of entitlement or even resentment towards those they perceive as to be responsible for their difficulties. So if I just defined you and you feel attacked, I'm sorry that you got called out, but placing yourself in a victim mindset or in a victim role is not going to get you anywhere. But I need you to be self-aware, and that's why I defined it for you there as well. And this can be hard to self-recognize as well, because sometimes we don't want to accept it. But when we are blaming everyone else around us and we like to point fingers, that is just someone who is trapped. That can feel very lonely too, because we feel like maybe nobody can relate or everybody else is out to get us. But who wants to live their lives walking around complaining and blaming? As I mentioned, what you feed grows. So if you walk around complaining and blaming, that's all your life is ever going to be. Think negativity, and more negativity is going to be welcomed into your life. That gray cloud type of world. We never get to see that sunny day. And I don't know about you, but if the sun is out, that dictates my mood for the day. And so the self-awareness here is key. We have to be so self-aware, because if we're not, that's when isolation and loneliness and just a powerless sense of self can happen. And I don't want that for you. And you know what happens in isolation? Overthinking. And overthinking can lead to even more self-sabotage. And overthinking is actually my next point. Overthinking is going to heighten self-sabotage, because overthinking brings problems to life. You know what kills your problems? Action. And so overthinking prompts you to create these narratives that don't even exist sometimes, you guys. And those narratives are going to 100% be more harmful than helpful thoughts, because it leads to stillness. Feeling like the issue at hand in front of you is too large for you to handle. As I said, overthinking gives your problems life. It gives it legs and power and leverage over you. Action, self-awareness, that's what kills your problem. It might be scary. It might be hard to do. But again, it's not all or nothing. It's being flexible and staying open to what's going to work for you. And maybe that's a trial and error. Maybe some days it might not work out, but it's picking up and trying again, taking that action that next moment or that next day, that next hour, whatever it might be. Action is the solution. And so some practical tips for overthinking, some action steps, if you will, that you can take action with is journaling. I used to be somebody who really overthinked all the time. And, you know, to this day, I can overthink, but I was in a season of my life where I was just overthinking about everything. And I would literally carry a journal around with me in my car everywhere I went, because my thoughts were just so loud and I didn't even know where to put them. And so I would just put them on paper, what I'm feeling. And so I had to get them out to somebody. If you feel like you don't have anybody, text yourself, journal, bring your journal. It honestly was game changing for me. Also telling a friend or a therapist. I've talked about counseling multiple times in this episode, reframing your thoughts, a healthy coping mechanism to act as a healthy outlet, whether that's calling a friend, drawing, finding a hobby, walking outside, something, playing with your dog, also exercise, channeling that energy into some sort of movement for your body, because overthinking requires a lot of energy, guys. A lot of energy. Some people who are overthinkers feel really fatigued. They feel tired. They feel drained at the other end of the day because, yeah, it requires your brain power, brain energy. And so you can use that energy in a more healthy way by going on a walk or going to the gym or doing a home workout. Any sort of movement that you enjoy is going to be healthy movement. But you got this, okay? I hope that there was just even one nugget of information within this podcast that helped you. And I want to know what that is too. So please, please let me know how I can hold you accountable. As I said, we're friends and that's what friends do. How I can hold you accountable, or what you're working on, or what you want more of out of the show, what we can chat through. Connect with me over on social media at The Girl Who Can Podcast or at Arissa Bua. Those are both linked in the show notes for you to find me. But I want you to know that you are the girl who can, always, every single week, not the girl who can't. And being the girl who can is overcoming this self-sabotage, because you deserve a life that is free, that is empowering, because you deserve it. And you can start right now, right after this episode, of maybe one thing that you learned. But also, if you could share this with a friend as well, we always want to grow the community. And with that, if you haven't already, I would appreciate it so, so much if you could leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening. It helps just grow more girls who can in this world. But again, I appreciate you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will chat again very soon. Bye, everybody.